5 in the book of Acts. We're studying Greek reading and research from the book of Acts, but we're studying number one, the Bible. We're talking about our hero's life, Paul. And as I said in the last message, and many times people look upon us as heroes. And being a hero is a very difficult thing. It's a very momentous responsibility. But for 2,000 years, Paul has been Christian men heroes. Christian men's heroes. And as we go down through history, we see other people that stand out. And I told you in my life, Martin Canavan, Carl Farrar, D.S. Madden, Travis Hubbard, these people were tremendous examples of Christianity. Brother Al Wagner, a missionary with a missionary's heart, was one of my heroes, and I was his hero, he said. He died young and in the middle of God's work, and we have times turning loose of our heroes, don't we? And Alan was young. He was much younger than I was. I was his pastor when he was a teenager. And he had a heart attack and died. You can watch his memorial service on sermonaudio.com/DTW. Brother Alan Wagner memorial service. And you'll hear Republicans and Democrats stand up and praise him for what he was. When I was his pastor, he was the Young Democrat of the Year. But I'm going to tell you something. He would be very ashamed of what's happening in America today. I don't know what he would do. But I know that he would be very upset. I know that he would be up there in the Senate and in the Supreme Court and the House of Representatives raising Cain. Absolutely. He was a great Christian man. He was a political leader also, but he was a great Christian man. And on his desk, wherever he was a Bible. And it wasn't there for decoration, because it was wore out. He was one of my heroes, and he said I was his hero. When I was pastor, what we might call volunteer pastor at Valley Baptist Church for more than 20 years. Brother Al would always introduce me to somebody. He said, "This is Dr. Jim Phillips, the greatest theologian that ever lived." And I'd just fall down on the ground almost. He was introducing me to the leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention. He said, "There's nobody like him. He's the greatest teacher there ever was." And I just melt. Well, that is a great responsibility. I've tried to do that all of my life just because God calls me to do it. And I used to say when I was younger, I am so dumb that if I learned it, I can correspond it and relate it to you so you can understand it. If I could understand it, anybody could understand it. Well, the Bible is a very precious book. A precious book. And here we have it in our hands here in its original form. As if it came from the hands of the writer Luke and the mouth of the Apostle Paul, our hero. Let's start off here in verse number 25. Kai nin edu ego oida hote ukete obseste to prosopon mu Himes, Pontes, and Uis, Dielthon, Caruson, Tain, Basileon. And as we look at these words, I want you to understand what they say and how graphic it is. They are word pictures. They are graphic word pictures of the New Testament. They are a scene as if played on a great stage with lights from every angle where there's no shadow. And now, Kainin. The word nain there, that's what we call an adverb of time. And now, at this very moment, behold, you behold, I have known that no longer ye shall see the face belonging to me. I'll know that you'll no longer see my face. I will probably never see you again. How would you like to have been a student of the Apostle Paul? How would you like to have been a student of the Apostle Paul? I sat at the feet of J. Lewis Guthrie as I studied his books, Benjamin Marcus Bogart as I studied his books and listened to his words, Martin Canavan. D.S. Madden, E.A. Sharver, Roy Reed. I listened and I studied at their feet as I went. I remember one time a great honor was given to me, and I didn't realize how great the honor was at the moment. When I was teaching Greek at Valley Baptist Church, Brother Phil Neighbors came to me and he said, Brother Jim, he said, I got to preach a sermon for the Southern Baptist Convention and I want you to write it for me. And I want it to be on this. He said, I want to make sure that it's right. He said, I want you to write this sermon for me. I don't ever wrote it for him, but I recorded it in one of my classes and I gave him the CD and I gave him, or the probably a cassette tape at that time, and I gave him the outline. And he said it went over well. One of the greatest, greatest honors that I ever had. And I say this because that man was my hero, and that was Dr. Roy Marion Reed, president of California Missionary Baptist Institute. He had just promoted me to the head of the language department in Greek and Hebrew, advanced reading and research. Before that, I had been over, and I still was doing it, I had been over Western civilization and political science and biblical archaeology. But now he was going to write a booklet. And he said, Brother Jim, he said, I want you to go through this with a fine-tooth comb, and I want to know, am I right? Tell me, am I right? Make sure that I don't cross over any place into the unknown, because this is for publication forever. He said, I want you to do this for me. Can you please do this? He said, I don't know language like you do. That was a great honor, and I think about that back at that time. It was a great honor to do that. It's a great honor to be your teacher, and it is a great honor to be able to preach God's word, and it's a great honor to have all of the heroes that I've had. But the title of the message is Being Their Hero. Sharing your hero to your family and to those people around you. Sharon, Marilyn, you are too. Donald Grewar, Mike up there in Washington, Troy, Alabama, from one coast to the other, in every way, Nancy in Pennsylvania, Mark in New York, all of you down in Australia, New Zealand, Brother Max, Marcielle down in the Philippines and now in New Zealand and in Australia. All of you guys are heroes. You're all heroes to people around you. Being a hero is a very heavy weight. But it's an honor that people look to you as a hero. People that listen to you and then do what you say, practice what you say. We hope our children do that, don't we? We hope their children do that. one of our messages today is the role of children in the economy of God. We hope our children follow our examples, and we hope they are a great example to our children. Behold, I know now that you shall not see my face any longer. I remember the last time I saw Brother Al Wagner. I didn't know it was going to be the last time I saw his face. I know it was the last time I saw Brother Farrar. I know the last time I saw Brother Hubbard. I know the last time I saw Brother Madden. I know the last time I talked to these individuals. But I didn't know it was going to be my last time either. I didn't know it was going to be my last time. Paul says, I know I'll no longer see your face. I have known that, he said. Oida. He said, all the places that I went through preaching the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of God, all the places that we have gone to and I have gone to preaching the word of God. Verse number 26. Diote maturomai himen ante semeron hemera hote katharos eme apo tu haimatos panton. Little word here, dia and hote put together, diote. Wherefore, because of this very thing, I witness. I witness for myself. I witness this because this unction is in me so strongly that I have to do it, that I must do it. I know of ministers that have died preaching. They fell dead while they were preaching. Right in the middle of their messages. I had a stroke in the middle of a message in Maryland. You remember that? I didn't know what was going on. My mind was just all messed up. I couldn't get my thoughts together, but I thought I was talking, and I wasn't talking, was I?
No.
I was just garbled. I was struggling, but I knew why I was there. And maybe that was a great example to somebody else to get up and do it anyway. I was having chemotherapy, radiation, and everything was messing me up bad. I had that stroke while I was preaching. I remember this. One woman got up and they said, he's a Greek and Hebrew scholar and he can't even talk in English. She left. Mm-hmm. I remember saying that. She said it out loud. I didn't know I couldn't. My words weren't coming out right. I didn't know that. I was doing my best. Finally, at the end of the message, I got doing it. I got to where I could preach. And I don't like that. I almost quit preaching because of that. I was very embarrassed because of that. But the unction is stronger than the fear. Wherefore, or because of this, I witness to you all in this very same day that clean I am, katharos. The name Kathleen, Kathy comes from that word, katharesis. That clean I am from the blood of you all. Now he's quoting a little bit back from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was clean from their blood. He's quoting back when Pontius Pilate says, I am clean, I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Verse number 27 now. Ugar hipestalemen. Tu me angalele. Passant tain boule to theo himo. For not. The word not there, gar, actually starts out with gar, because that's a conjunction, a casual particle there. For, or because of this not, I have held back, or I kept back for myself. To not declare all of the counsel of God to you all. In the book of Ephesians, I'm going to reach right up here out of my
library.
And I want to read this little thing to you, the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. See, my Bible opened up right to that verse. It knew where I was supposed to go. Paulus Apostles Christu Jesu dia thelamatos tu theu tois usen in Ephesu kai Christios en Christu Jesu. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the spiritual activating force, by the thelamatos of God, by the spiritual activating force of God, to the ones, to the saints, wherever they are. This is a universal letter. This is a general epistle. It says in Ephesus, but it's in Ephesus and not there in the Greek. And the faithful ones in Christ Jesus, charis hemen ereni apu theou patros hemen kai kurio esu Christou. And grace to you all, and peace, right straight from and away from, in the oblative, away from God, the Father of us, and the Lord Jesus Christ, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, in that verse, it makes Jesus equal with the Father. Jesus is equal with the Father. Paul makes Christ God. And he is. In verse number 3 here, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us in every blessing and every spiritual place, even in the heavenlies. Like we're in heaven itself when we're studying the Word of God. You're right in the midst of heaven when you're in the Word of God, people. You're there. You're with God. Verse number 4. And this is beautiful. Kathos exelexato himos en auto pros katabales. Cosmo. Just as he picked us out in him, he chose us, he elected us in himself. Before the foundation of the world, before he ever built the world, to be holy and unspotted and unblemished down in the middle of his presence in the love. In verse number 5, and that's where we're going to go here. Having marked us off, having earmarked us, having branded us, and predestined us unto the adoption, the placing as sons, through the agency of Jesus Christ, in himself, according to his good pleasure or his will, of the spiritual activating force of God, to his glory. He favored us in the one having been beloved, in whom we have the redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins and our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that belongs in Jesus Christ. What a story, isn't it? What a story. The grace of God being... We are people's heroes, but Christ is our hero. He is our trailblazer. He went through this life. Paul followed him. Peter, James, John, all of these were heroes to people in their time. But Christ is our great hero. He is the one that made things possible for all of us. Verse number 28. He said, I kept back nothing to declare the whole counsel of God, the whole spiritual activating force of God, the whole plan, the whole God's eternal purpose. Verse 28, Tros ekete, etos kai ponte to poimene, en ho himas to numa to hagio, etheto epoikathos, poimenein tein ekklesian tu theou. He said, now all of you pastors that have come here out of Ephesus, now I want you to understand something. I want you to take heed for yourselves. I want you to get a hold of yourself. That's what it says. Pros and echo. Get a hold of yourself. And that little reflexive third, second person pronoun there, iatois. and to all of the flock. The flock here is figuratively talking about God's churches. Each and every one of you pastors that come here that are over God's churches, over God's flock, over His little lambs. And Marilyn, you know very closely what a little lamb, how a little lamb loves you, don't it? She raised a lot of little lambs in her life. And she loved them, and they loved her. They come out there, and they look upon her. And she could handle her lambs like no one else. The sheep shearers came out there, and he said, how do you get these sheep to do what you do? Because they trusted you, didn't they? They trusted you. They loved you. You never harmed them in any way. To all the ones that have been placed over the flocks of God in which you, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has placed for Himself. He placed you there for Himself to be episcopos. Episcopos. To be bishops. Now the word epi, it comes from epi, that means upon or over, page 153 and 154 in the analytical Greek lexicon. And then scopos, we got a word scope from that. That means to look. That means to spy upon. The overseers, the pastors, the ones that watch over, and they shepherd the church belonging to God. This church does not belong to me. This church belongs to God. And you belong to God. Wherever you are all over the world, if I shepherd you in any way and I can feed you and take care of you in any way, I'm supposed to watch over you. I'm supposed to take care of you. And this word here, poimenane, there, that's present infinitive active. And that word there means to shepherd. That means to doctor you when you need doctoring. That means to feed you when you need feeding. That means to give you drink when you need drink. And it means to doctor you when you need doctored. And that means to protect you always. I've always said that the original language would protect you from a lot of heresies. As you study the Bible in the original language, you will be inoculated. You will be vaccinated from heresies, some heresies. A lot of people that don't believe that the Greek language, the Bible is written in the Greek language, and that's what it was in the original, they say don't study Greek. If you study the Greek, it will help you to be vaccinated against a lot of error and many heresies. That the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers to shepherd the church belonging to God. That means to take care of those sheep in every way. They have to be protected. They have to be fed. They have to be clothed with shelter. They have to be protected against wolves. And Paul is going to start talking about wolves real soon. Which he acquired for himself through the blood, through his own blood. This church, which the Lord Jesus Christ applied and bought for himself, acquired for himself, that word is peri oipeisanto. That means that it comes from peri and poio. And that one that he absolutely performed, Jesus Christ, no man will ever go to heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. Never. Never. That's the only way. He's the only door. He is the one that acquisitioned us for the Godhead to give us eternal life to be with Him forever. By the agency of His own blood. In verse number 29, we have our, in our last 29 and verse number 30, ego oida hote eise lusante meta tein afixe mu locoi bares eis himas me phaedomenoi tu poi menu. For I know this. I know, Paul said, I completely understand that there shall come among you after I leave, after my leaving and my departure, Lukoi bares. Lukoi bares. wolves. Persons of wolf-like character. This is a parable, so to speak. Likoi. Persons of wolf-like character, violent and cruel and unsparing and unrelenting, cruel, heavy, oppressive, grievous, offensive, rapacious, calamitous, bringing calamity unto the flock. Not sparing, not respecting, not abstaining from the flock of God. The devil and the devil's preachers don't care about the flock of God. They won't spare the flock of God. And Paul talked about this. John talked about this. He talked about the people that don't believe in the deity of Christ, the Gnostics. Paul said he didn't even want to be in the same room with them. There was one time he was going to a public bathhouse, like a steam room, and he said, "I don't want to go here. That rascal's there. The one that teaches that Jesus Christ isn't God." Verse number 30. Kai eximon auto anastasonte andres lalontes diestramina tu apostpon tus mathetes opiso auton. And out of ye yourselves they shall raise up men. Out of the church, out of the flocks, your very flocks, are some people who are going to go away from the truth of God. They're going to go away into heresy. We had down in Alexandria, Egypt. The school in Alexandria, Egypt brought forth a lot of heresies. Gnostic heresies. Men speaking. Continually speaking. Having been twisted and thoroughly perverted. And they shall drag away disciples, dragging them behind themselves. It shows out that here we have a wolf going into a flock, and he kills a lamb, and then he takes that lamb and he drags it out there and devours it. You remember times on the farm down there. One of the most dangerous things in the woods is feral dogs or dogs that have gone bad. And they came out there and ripped your little children, your little baby goats, sheep, and ripped their little guts out and dragged their throats and killed them and drank their blood. And terrible. And that figuratively is what these terrible heretics do to God's churches. I remember one church. I preached for them a lot. And I just loved that church. I loved that church. And several of the church wanted me to come there and be their pastor. And some of them didn't. But I'll tell you one thing. I know the Word of God, and I don't let heresy come up around me. There at Valley Baptist Church, people, the pastors used to send heretics to my class. See if you can straighten them out, they'd say. See if you can straighten them out, Brother Jim. Nobody else can. I'd either straighten them out or I'd run them off one or the other. But arose in that church, after I didn't preach there anymore, arose in that church, and it divided the church, and the flock just scattered. The ones that believed the truth flat scattered. He brought in Gnosticism and heresy, Jehovah Witness doctrines, into that Baptist church. That Jesus was a Son of God, not the Son of God. The Word of God, the Bible, just a few moments ago we read where Paul put Jesus on equal with the Father. Equal with the Father because this Jesus is God. He is God the Son. Kaiholos sarx agenthom. And the Word, the Jehovah, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's what would come into this church. And then the Judaizers, those people that believed that you had to be circumcised, you had to keep the law to get to heaven, like your modern Seventh-day Adventist again. All of these cults today, the Jehovah's the Seventh-day Adventist, Gunnar Ted Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong's as it was, I know the church has changed now, but as it was, they do away with hell, and they do away with the deity of Christ. They do away with it. Some of them make Satan the co-redeemer with Christ. In other words, Satan redeems those that go to hell, because then there's no hell, and he only goes to hell and suffers for them. Jesus Christ is our 100% redeemer from hell into heaven and all. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And there's no other way under heaven and earth whereby a man may be saved except through the blood of Jesus Christ, like Paul preached. If anybody tells you anything different than that, they're a liar. This Word of God is our full, what we might call, evidence of who God is and what God wants in our life. It is our full revelation. We don't need any more revelation. Any revelation you get is not God's revelation. The Word of God is fit for our full faith and practice. Our Father, we send this message out to you, to your people, that it might glorify and honor you and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray if there's one out there that's lost, that you will lead them to you. If one out there in heresy, that they'll leave it and come to you. From Catholicism, from Jehovah's Witness, from Seventh-day Adventist, whatever, Mormonism, whatever. I pray that if they hear this message, it'll lead them to you in full truth and knowledge in all the light of Scripture, and help us honor our heroes that you've given to us through time, and our one hero, Jesus Christ,